Support for Commodity Week comes from the Friends of WILL and from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign. With crop insurance, grain marketing, and commodity brokerage services. Learn more at sfarmmarketing.com.
This is the May 11 edition of Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Our panelists today include Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities out of Watseka, Illinois, Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Kurt, let's start with you today. What was your assessment of yesterday or Wednesday's USDA crop production and World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate reports?
Well, that's a benchmark to go by. I think they were looking at the next reporting before this report came out. And, it's the numbers to work off of. The question will be acreage as we move into June. And, of course, the yield estimate as we move forward here, because that will move the bottom line more than anything. But most definitely the surprise was probably in the beans, the bean carryout, new crop bean carryout. 480, not the 580 or 600 million bushel some of the trade was fearful from.
Wayne Nelson, that was the number that most people looked at, 480 million bushels. USDA says that's based off of expected exports, better next year than in the past, mostly on the idea, according to Seth Meyer at USDA, World Agricultural Outlook Board, that the production coming out of South America next year and out of the United States this year will be trend line yields, and consequently, we'll have a better export picture from here. Would you agree with that?
Well, I'm looking at the spring we're having and the planning progress we're making, or the delay of planning or the replanning, I think ours is going to be behind and we won't be pushing the yields we saw last year. You know, can South America have a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous yield like they had 2 years in a row? Probably not. I think that, you know, we're looking at some of these things. They're talking about a little possibility of El Nino starting to inch its way back in, and that generally harms the South American crop a little bit. So I think that's probably right. Now, will China continue to do more business with us because maybe their balance of trade payments? That's another thing we're really hoping for.
Merrill Crowley, your assessment of the USDA report on the soybean side?
On the soybean side, we saw USDA come out with 48 bushel per acre. And it's kind of interesting. I saw some information today talking about the Farm Bureau numbers. And I believe the Farm Bureau numbers were more like, where are they at? 45.9.
So much lower.
For trend, yes. So, and I know U of I is lower, but I'm not sure what those numbers are. And so, you know, what is trend? And Wayne brings up a good point when he was talking about South America. How likely is it that we're going to have two huge crops in a row? And it's not very likely. So, it is a good point to start from. It shows that we are seeing shrinking supplies at this point. Now it's up to the weather, see how it's going to push it either higher or lower, and then see how other areas in the economy affect the grains.
And at this point, I think I would point folks to the Farm Doc Daily website. Daryl Good, Scott Irwin, and Todd Hubbs have penned an article posted on Wednesday of this week to the Farm Doc site, taking a look at trend yields in the United States in specific were those impacted very much by other places. For instance, the southeastern part of the United States has had a really big push in their yields. In Illinois, Iowa, Minnesota, we've had very good yields, actually, better than average over the last several years. They believe those are weather-related. The southeastern and Nebraska numbers, not so much. Nebraska, they can't quite figure out, but Southeast is very much a production-oriented program, so that they started to plant beans earlier, and they're planting beans that are more like they would plant here, meaning groups threes and fours, rather than something else, and they just are getting bigger yields, so they're learning a lot. So the expectation, and I think this may be the takeaway, is that first, don't expect as big a yields as you've had in the past, maybe, with your soybeans, unless you have really good weather. And secondly, the trend in the United States has been impacted in an upward move based off of what was happening in the Southeast. I think we can probably say the same thing out of South America. So maybe that does give us, Kurt Kimmel, the idea that 480 million bushel carryout might be something really that we could deal with. And certainly USDA's average cash price at $9.30 wasn't so terribly bad.
Well, we've had bigger carryouts in the past, but weather's going to dictate, and that yields the main thing. But this demand's just not going to go away. I mean, we've not seen China come in and cancel large volumes at all. They're taking all the beans. We've already met the export sales goal. We just need to make sure we get them shipped out of the country. Not only beans, but this meal is on fire too. We're seeing this livestock sector take off. On the report, we did see the meat report numbers. Per capita consumption continues to trend higher on red meat. So there's a lot of moving parts here that could make this market quite exciting as we go through the growing season.
Let's not forget about the biodiesel and our requirements, and the way that we have the anti-dumping against Argentina and the other country there, that we are going to be using more bean oil if we do all the biodiesel to make our quotas as far as that goes. And let's also look at the idea that as we're looking at this wet period of planting and time like that, that there could be up to a million and a half acres of beans, especially through Missouri and whatever, that could get pre-plant or prevented plant failed crop down in those areas too. That could take maybe a million to million and a half acres of beans off that before we start multiplying times 47.
And I suppose there are Governor Branstad to be the ambassador to China and Secretary Sonny Perdue, a couple of aces in the hole here.
As Sonny has been quoted as saying, you grow it, we'll sell it. And I think that that's a great motto, and I love it, and I love to see him promoting our product. And, one of the things we've looked at is trying to balance the trade a little bit, and we've got a big deficit with China.
Balance of trade. Will we help make this work on the back of soybeans and corn and beef and pork and all those other things that we can export?
I really don't see why not at this time, and that's going to be really dependent on what we see happen with North Korea here. They're talking about another atomic bomb test, so that's going to put a kink in things, and well, it depends on how China will side with them. Long story short, China needs grain, and they either got to get it from South America or us. We're seeing South America struggle with logistics getting out the crop they've got right now. China's demand's up 9.3% for soybeans this year, and the USDA is projecting them up 5% for next year. So the demand, I think, is going to stay there as long as we don't mess it up with some sort of political conflict.
And speaking of the logistic thing, that seemed a little odd to me that the soybeans have not come out of South America at this point. They say really just not selling the beans, but what the heck are they doing with them at this time? I'm not certain that they have a way to store them very well.
Well, the beans right now seem to be going into farm storage. And, of course, then when the corn crop comes out, we're going to be looking at that storage being stretched and probably overrun. Several people are saying, well, if you put them in the bags and you keep the bags airtight, then you'll be okay. Well, that may work for a while, but you're also talking about a very humid climate, and I don't know how the longevity of that would be. What was interesting, everybody's talking about how they're not selling, but you don't see the sales that much different. You're only seeing 49% complete versus what was the average, something like 65 normally at this time. So there's not that big a distinction.
So they're lagging, but they're 15 or 16%, which is a substantial amount, but
sure,
not as much
with
as
this
we're
size
really
crop.
Thinking about.
It's just completely opposite from the northern hemisphere to the southern hemisphere. Up here in the north, we sell all them beans, get rid of them, we hoard the corn. Whereas in the southern hemisphere, they're probably a little bit more aggressive moving corn and hoarding the beans. But I think there's becoming like the American farmer here. If they get optimistic, they're just going to hang on till all heck freezes over.
Yeah, so essentially that their primary crop is soybean. Corn is their secondary crop. Speaking of which, the numbers from USDA yesterday for corn, old and new crop, what'd you think of those, Wayne?
You mean for South America?
For the United States.
The United States. Very good. I liked what they'd done. I liked that they cut back as far as what we were going to be producing. They looked ahead and seemed reasonable. And, we're going to be cutting our carryout because of that. And I think that we're going to see some real good opportunities for this feed to go along and do very well also. Another thing we want to look at as far as we're looking at those numbers is when we've had the very, very wet spring in the April and May, and we've come on, it's the 20 of the wettest years. When we follow that, July and August follows 14 out of 20 times, we have a very dry July and August. And that's just what you don't want after a real wet time period. So that can take our average yield down just a little bit more.
And it would offer an opportunity for producers to make old crop sales, which they haven't been staying up to speed on, as best I can tell.
Well, that hope there, that's what everybody's waiting for, some type of spring event or a summer event to get caught up on sales. Now, too, there's two concepts here, too, is these guys have done a lot of basis contracts. And in their minds, they still own the corn and need to sell, even though it's really been, the cash has been moved into the marketing channel. So it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds here as we go forward.
They always say that it don't hold it past July 4th. It's just a cardinal sin to hold your corn past that point. This year seems to be running very similar in trading as they did in 2010, where we had no market movement from the beginning of the year clear out until June. Then came June, and we had some problems suddenly appear, Russian drought, 300 million less corn. So, you know, we can get into this time period, which is a common time period to get some sort of change in ideas in the overall fundamentals and see markets rally from that point.
So producers with old crop corn, what are your best ideas for them at this point? Is it just simply to have some goals in mind and to actually put in cash sales numbers with the local grain elevator, and do you cover it in some way?
I think first off, we want to watch very closely during this planting time that we're going to be facing over the next three and a half weeks, basis levels could get tight in a lot of places. And if nothing else, sell some basis corn at that time, because we do get that rally you're looking for. And we are all looking for a little bit of a pop later after we bottom out here. So, you know, then price the corn later. But I do think there's going to be some real opportunities here when people are busy in the field and the ethanol plants are running out of corn.
New crop sales at all?
I think you'd be a little patient. I think step one is getting rid of the old, then kind of work it from there. I think there's some downside risk at once we get past this spring, because basically you have July options expiring on June 23rd. If you look at the option ownership, 370 calls and on up, there are 260,000 calls purchased from 370 on up. Below there's only about 25,000. These guys got billions and billions of dollars, so I don't think they're going to let the market go up substantially until after June 23rd when those options are cleaned off. And that kind of fixes seasonal mode in. If you get a wet spring, you move a little higher, and all of a sudden it starts to dry out, you move lower into June. And as Wayne was hitting on, oftentimes you turn too dry and have the rally later on in the marketing year.
So that's going to give you a very short period of time if the seasonals work as they have in the past between June 23rd and when the market bottoms out sometime in July and August.
Timing's everything, and we've got these funds pushing us around. We can see 30, 40 cent swings up and down. In corn, we've been seeing this thing go up and down 15 cents, just up and down. So you got to be prepared and have your orders in there.
I agree with Kurt wholeheartedly. I mean, like I say, we want to take advantage of a good tight basis. Then we wait for this little pop on what we think is going to be a summer weather rally. But don't expect it to just go wild. I mean, it's going to be where we get an extra 5 to 10 cents on the basis and we get another 10 or 15 cents on the board. And it might only get up to 390 cash that way. So, you know, we don't have to hold 420 on all of our corn. We need to move part of it.
I guess I'm looking at using put options for the new crop, trying to protect it. I don't like the basis levels for our new crop right now, so I don't want to actually make sales. For the old crop, I would like to sell if I can get some basis pops and just cash it out, then put a stop above the board around, about 380 for July or 395, $4 for Dease corn, and just go along the futures.
You know, I was thinking about the numbers from USDA this week and that 480 million bushel carryout, which is a very large carryout for the soybeans, bigger still than this year. However, a 930 cash price, 1016, I think, is the number for crop insurance. Producers need to do what with all of that information? Because will they want to wait and just wait for the crop insurance? Will they want to make a sale somewhere along the lines? Have things changed in this week given the USDA report? Because we were really bearish. the soybeans. I mean, just a lot of soybeans. Not sure why they were staying as high as they have been. USDA has given us something of a reason at this point.
As far as crop insurance, I think it's a two-edged sword in my my opinion. It's necessary. You need it to protect yourself and give yourself a some sort of floor in the market. But the other side of the coin is as bushels go up, your price declines. Sure, you're still guaranteed X dollars per acre. But if you don't do something marketing-wise, you're going to be looking at a similar situation as you did last year. Yeah, you got the insurance guaranteed, but or maybe you didn't because you had too much yield. So, relying on crop insurance is dangerous.
Well, it's a tool to work with. I think the thing you got to keep in mind, holding the cash grain could be a toxic situation because we're going to get in the situation we still have ample supplies. We're not going to run out of grain. And so I think you still got to use some smart marketing tactics in here to get that cash grain priced or protected one way or another. We kind of like the courage calls to add to the plan here so it goes up. You can make those sales. But as you move down the road in through here, we're going to run into a situation like we did last year. We're going to have a big drop on August 31st, that last day when your elevator guy calls up and says, hey, you want another in charge? You want to sell it?
Take some time. Explain to me exactly how a courage call in this case works.
Well, what we've done is, for example, you can come in and buy like a $4 corn call. And what happens is once the market goes higher in through here, you can come in and you get to that 390 level or so, you can come in and sell your cash corn. Then all of a sudden, if the weather would happen to turn hot and dry and this thing shoots up to 450, you don't feel like you sold it too soon, you can add to your bottom line by having some ownership on paper. If the market goes nowhere, you've got your cash sold and you're out of whatever you pay for that call.
What have you heard about planting progress other than from USDA and their weekly reports and the condition of farms across the United States?
Well, Todd, we've heard that a lot of areas have nothing done north of Route 80, why we're seeing very little farm work that's been done in Illinois. Know the customers I talked to in that area have done nothing to 200 acres. We know that a lot of people have a lot of stuff in the ground, and they're hoping and praying for that warm weather coming up next week so these beans can pop through the ground because they think they can make it if they do. We've seen crop insurance adjusters out already today. They're looking over things, so they're ready to say they can replant if it doesn't look good. But most everybody's waiting about till next Wednesday or Thursday, and then depending on the weather, to see if this crop comes through the ground is what it is. We're a long ways along if this crop pops through the ground, and we're not half as far along as we think we are if we have to replant. I know that we've got customers are talking at least 2,000 acres that they feel they're going to have to replant on their farms, and they're going to go do what isn't planted first and then come back and see what it looks like after a while. We heard populations down around 21,000 on some of the corn that's up now.
I've heard more often than not from farmers say we're working on getting the crop up and out of the ground at this point. And I always think to myself, well, that sounds like a nature thing more than anything else. So they kind of need heat. And as Matt Bennett told us on Thursday afternoon during the closing market report, despite the fact that he'd had 11 inches of rainfall, the rainfall they got last night helped out quite a little bit.
We've yet to see that. As I came down from Watsika, it took me probably till I got to Rantoul before I started seeing a fair amount of fields that have popped out of the ground. And so that corn has been in the ground for a couple of weeks. Doesn't mean it won't come up, especially when we get this warmer weather next week. A lot of that should come out of the ground if it's going to. But the fact remains, you keep the corn in the ground for 2 weeks, you've taken something off the top end, and we're going to have to kind of decide what that is as we go down the road. I wouldn't be surprised to see planting progress somewhere in the neighborhood of 55% or better come Monday.
I wouldn't count this corn out just yet. You can go down to Farmer Fleet and Menards and get this tubing and put a Y thing in there and spread that fertilizer on there, and it'll be just good as new.
So one thing about the corn, this from Emerson Nafziger, for those who haven't heard this from Emerson or some other agronomist at this point, a lot of yellow corn conditions have been wet, and mostly it's the cold at night because the yellow is uniform across the whole of the fields. Emerson says he doesn't know for sure whether there's any damage. Kind of depends on how long it stays that way. The heat will make a lot of that go away, and Matt on Thursday afternoon, they had some heat in that Shelbyville area, said that he thought they were greening up some. That'll be new growth, according to Emerson, so we'll have to watch the corn. I want to come back, speaking of damage, because it's been a unique weather year. Really good crops, great weather in South America and the United States. The spring's been kind of funny. The wheat in Kansas had 17 inches of snow on it when they went through the wheat quality tour. Romolo Lolato out there, the extension agronomist who handles wheat, said 40% of the hard breadwinner wheat growing areas are in that western part of Kansas that got heavy snow. And they won't know till Monday or Tuesday of next week really how bad that crop is. What do we know about the crop today, and how much of an impact might this have? And I'm guessing, you know, in the far western areas, graze out, which Ellen Dearden told us about, and I know Romolo said was happening. They have a lot of moisture, could get milo there rather than wheat. And then in the central section, the one that really I think we have to follow, Wayne, is disease in the wheat. And whether they'll rip it up and put soybeans in.
That's very true, Todd. You know, the one thing, wheat plants are very resilient, but if they were damaged by a freeze and it can hurt the kernels like that, we're talking about a lot of problems for the millers. You know, and we have more feed wheat again this year. That's one of the other big problems we've got to look at, because we're going to have some real problems with some of that goes. I think that we are going to have damage, but not to the extent we thought right off the bat. I think a lot of this stuff is more resilient than you think. We generally kill wheat three times or something, and this was probably the second one along
the
way.
One more to go.
And then, yeah, one more to go, and that's going to be the disease problems that we see with it on that. But I think we'll see a lot of it grazed, and I think we'll see a fair amount tore up. But the biggest problem is we've just got way too much wheat on hand. One thing I wanted to throw in, just there was a couple of the major advisors that advised on Thursday afternoon to be buying your diesel and gas needs through harvest. Don't know if that's the right thing or the wrong thing to do. I do know that there's a lot of smart people that are looking at that, and they recommended it in the cash market. So you might want to be checking with your local supplier of diesel and gas to see where they're at right now.
I wondered about that. Archer Financial Services, Stephen Platt told us about that on Tuesday as well on the closing market report. So that's a good tip, and I suppose producers can check with their local dealers and try to get some things locked in for the fall. World numbers, tell me about those.
Well, on wheat, we're washed of wheat. I mean, we got that wheat world number going up, but when you look at the wheat and look at the breakdown, if you look at China, China's not a world exporter of wheat. So if you take them out, actually world numbers have been shrinking for the last 4 years. Still ample supplies, but it is getting tighter on the export sector side.
Hey, one other thing, and we can come back to world numbers to either of you if you have something to say, but I'm thinking as I'm looking here about the cattle numbers, which have been just wild at the CME Group in Chicago. What do we know about that? And at first, there was some impact from NAFTA. They were on their way up big time, and they've just been all over the board.
Well, it's just been a phenomenal situation, particularly in the cash side. Demand just won't go away. We're seeing the producers pull cattle forward. We were dealing with lighter weights there for a while. The export market's on fire. Per capita consumption's just gone through the or moved higher here over the short term, so demand's just really hot. Then plus the commodity funds were in charge there. They were open interest in the June contract was over 180,000 contracts. So a lot of speculative money and a lot of big movement to continue in that complex.
I suppose it doesn't hurt that the Secretary of Agriculture for the United States has been saying we want beef to go to China too.
Well, that just adds a little fuel to the fire.
Yeah, and add into that mix that Kurt was talking about. You had a large fire event down in Oklahoma where they lost a lot of cattle. Then you had that followed up with a big snow and freeze that where we lost a lot of cattle out in Kansas to help decrease the size of the crop or the herd. Technically, I've looked at that. It just seems to me like this market was going down and just made just a beautiful correction. and it will be and is getting ready to head down. It rolled right up to the 50% mark of the decline that we've had the past couple of years, and that it's almost a picture-perfect ABC pattern with the first leg matching the second leg up almost to the T. However, if we can break resistance of 128.50, then I think you could see things go higher.
So these really do match better in the livestock. They work pretty well in the grains and oil seeds, but I would suspect that livestock has a whole lot more trading that happens on the technical side than maybe some other markets. Is that true or not true?
I don't know enough about that to say if I could answer it one way or the other. You know, you have technical traders and fundamental traders in both. If you've got more fund participation, I would assume they are more technical.
Let's wrap it up at this point. We'll get a final thought from each of you. I'll start with you, Wayne Nelson.
Well, Todd, it's been a rough week for a lot of the farmers in this area. That the grain has been way too heavy. The crops have sort of been reluctant, kept their head underground. And I think we're going to have a nice little stretch of weather coming on here for the next 5 days. And we hope that we can see this crop pop through the ground and we can take time and be patient not to go out to the field and just tear up the field, mud it in, track it in compaction. So be patient.
Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities from Normal, Illinois. Kurt?
Well, there's a lot of moving parts in various commodities. There's a lot of market in front of us, and I think you just got to keep in mind our job to help you out to get you from point A to point B.
And Merrill Crowley is with Crowley Commodities. He's out of Watseka, Illinois.
It is my thought pattern that with all the with the current farm economics and pricing and money being tight, I would be wanting to do something to make sure there was floor in the market. Everybody says, well, the corn's gone down and it doesn't have much downside and beans don't have much downside. We're going to hit a certain point in time, and if we have the moisture and no forecast for heat, this market's going to drop in a hurry.
Commodity Week is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. There you can listen to the whole of our program. Our thanks to our panelists this week, including Merrill Crowley of Crowley Commodities out of Watseka, Illinois, Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana, and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.